Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and we're going to welcome back Rob Redkin in just a few minutes. And we're going to be talking about child trafficking and can states, judges, and CPS deny parental rights? You're going to find out whether or not they can, and if you happen to not know. So let me ask you this. Are you awake, and is the American dream on the verge of the American nightmare? Well, it's definitely on the verge of the American nightmare for children in the United States of America and around the world, and that is a very sad, sad thing to have to say. But it is true, and it's time for you to pick up your sword, literally speaking, and fight back against injustices that not only come against adults, but are coming against babies, toddlers, little children, teenagers, young boys and girls, adults. And not just for sex trafficking and slaves, but also for organ harvesting as well. Very, very scary thing to even think about for most people, but that's been going on in communist China since at least the early 90s. And I don't know what they're doing with all those human organs harvesting. It's a multi-billion dollar business, but maybe one day we will find out and it will be prohibited and banned and against the law in the United States of America. So let me tell you a little bit about Rob Raskin, so you'll know a little bit about our returning guest. He began his life in Brooklyn in 1956. He's an entrepreneurial spirit, and he's a hard worker. By the age of 12, he was mowing lawns, 15 lawns a week. Reminds me of my brother. He did that too. Removing as much snow as he could to clear the route for his newspaper customers on Long Island. And those were the values and principles we were taught back in the day, that we had to work. We weren't entitled. We had to work and learn how to save money and the value of money and the self-esteem you got from earning your own money and buying whatever you wanted. And throughout his adulthood, Rob has been a very successful business owner and a consultant. But the 9/11 attack on the United States brought new purpose to his life. And that's what we're going to talk about today, his new purpose to his life and to awaken more people to this cause of saving the children and saving families. Once Rob realized he had to keep the American dream alive for his grandchildren, for the future generations, his course was set. He knew he had to do everything he could to take this country in the right direction, which many of us actually have the same thoughts in mind, but we need to get united and connected again. And seems like after the year 2000, things fell apart. And there were so many other issues coming that to divert people away from what was happening with the children. So let's say hello to our very special guest, our returning guest, Rod Radkin. Hi, Rod. Rob, I'm so glad you're back with us.
Hi, Rose. I'm still here.
Well, I'm so
happy
because actually the computer tech fixed the tape, so the audio, so we're fine with that show. So we can use that show as well. Turned out pretty good, actually.
Wonderful.
Gave the audience a lot of information, so I was very happy about that. And so I know, it's like, well, we can't repeat all of this. We need more to talk about more things like how can the states and the judges and the Child Protective Services deny parental rights to Americans? I don't think most Americans think that they can actually deny your parental rights in a split moment based on an accusation. And do you know, Rob, that even if it's an anonymous phone call, they can do that?
Yes, and they can enter your home without a warrant. And so most people don't realize it, but the steps, I have some steps written down. I call it a kidjacking. This is how a typical kidjacking occurs. A call is generated from an angry neighbor or a coworker or a family member. DHR comes out and removes the child until an investigation can be conducted. The caseworker has an attorney meet with the child. The attorney interviews the child and digs to find something to justify being able to meet with the judge. The attorney then meets with the judge without the parent. The attorney advises the judge that the child should not be returned to the house. The judge signs an order making the attorney the child's guardian ad litem. And sometimes the judge may then order an evaluation by a therapist or a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And then based on those findings, the judge terminates the parental rights completely, and the child is assigned to a foster home or remanded to a facility, in which case, in both cases, the state is paid by the federal government as a result of the bill that Bill Clinton signed in 1997 to pay a bonus to the state for every child that they have in custody.
Yes, and the other thing is that I've known cases because I interviewed hundreds of people around this country during the 90s, early 200s, 2000s. I wasn't here in 200s, but okay. 2000s.
You sound great.
thanks. I feel great. I'm a miracle. And so I saw cases where the CPS recommended the child be removed from the parents during a divorce, and they actually refused to give the children to a relative for custody, and they went ahead and took the child and either kept them in the facility at the state building, or they adopted them out, not just handing them over to foster care, actually adopted those children out.
Yeah, that's the way the bonuses work. So that's if you follow the money flow, that's exactly what happens. If you give the child to a family member, or if you give the child back to the parents, then no money transfers from the federal government to the state government. So there's a zero incentive on the part of the caseworkers to return the child to the home. And as a matter of fact, as a caseworker, you're given a quota of how many children to pick up. And then once you pick those children up, it's your job to make sure that that child gets placed in the foster care system or remanded to a facility so that the federal government pays the state. And as I said before, I actually had a DHS former worker tell me that the governor's office in Alabama specifically would call the head of DHR to tell them how many children they need to pick up for the month because it's a budget line item. And so when I started complaining and sending information out to the governor and to the attorney general and to the president at the time, Obama, and to all of the agencies, I didn't realize at that time, but I certainly realize now, that it goes right from the top, right from when Clinton passed that law in 1997. The DHS and CPS organizations, which are one and the same throughout the country, they're all weaponized to take children. And so you see numbers, and I've seen the number of 800,000 children taken every year And a lot of times people say, well, how can that be? Well, that's 40 children on average per day per state. And so for 50 states, that's 2,000 children a day. And for a year, that's approximately 800,000. The rest of them come from different sources, like being trolled online and then stolen. But the vast majority, over 80% of the children that are in child pornography and are into child prostitution and into sacrifices and all of the satanic rituals, etc., those children are taken. In other words, the famous words of the great Georgia Senator Nancy Schaefer, who was murdered over this, what she said was, the reason why they take the children is simple. They need the inventory. And that's exactly why they keep taking the children. And interestingly,
it is supply and demand.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that it reminds me of when I was a young girl and I worked for the sheriff's department, and they had quotas for tickets. So they had to meet a quota or they were in trouble, and to give out tickets. And so this is how the government operates, by financial incentives and by ordering their workers to, you know, to take on so many cases. We fought the district attorney in the 90s too, in LA and Orange County, because they were not collecting child support. They were called deadbeat dads, mostly the dads, and so back then. And so they refused, and these are wealthy counties, and so it wasn't as if they were impoverished husbands. They just didn't want to pay. And so there were some, you know, good dads, but I'm just talking about the ones that were deadbeat dads. And so we were fighting that because the district attorney refused to go after them, especially if they left the state. So I proposed a law to Congresswoman Boxer, and she actually, her and Congressman Cox, who I met a few times, they actually put together what I proposed, which was to allow the district attorneys to go after deadbeat dads who moved out of state, which they were banned from doing prior to that. And so that's how that got done in this country. And so, but the point I was going to make about the caseloads is that I was told by a worker there, a social worker, who had stacks and stacks of cases on her desk. And she said, well, I have 350 cases right here, and I can't get to all of them. And I said, well, if you actually can't get to them, don't you think that you should, that the county should hire more people so that children aren't going hungry and homeless? Because the single mothers cannot take on, at that time especially, they weren't working, most of the mothers. And so they cannot take on the burden of mother and father, the financial burden, and keep the roof over their heads and food on their table and clothes on their back and all their school supplies if you people are not doing your job. And so, but what I learned through that is, we're talking financial incentive again, is that for every case they had, the federal government gave them money for each case, for their treasure trove. So the more cases they had, the more money was coming in from the federal government.
Yeah, it's simply a matter of the states essentially being on commission, and the children being the commodity, and the parents simply being in the way. So now, from this point, we have children that are obviously being picked up by a weaponized child protective services that's anything but. And now these children are either going into the foster care system, or they're being remanded into a facility. If they're remanded into a facility, there's all kinds of kickbacks. If they're remanded into the foster care system, that's where the vast majority of the children that are in prostitution and that are funneled to the wealthy, who require a specific order of a type, that's where those children go. And so what I want to talk about next is the insanity of Hollywood, because as I continued to do my research, and these are things
that... before you get into Hollywood, I want to stay on financial incentives, because today we have Bill Gates and we have Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and the Democrats in office, the governors and the AGs, that are inflating the COVID numbers, according to many doctors and dentists, and that the masks are actually causing health issues for the dentist. And doctors and scientists have said they don't do anything to stop the virus anyway. They're just optics and show. Even Dr. Fauci said that, and he was caught off camera a few times ripping off his mask. So the bottom line is, though, what's happening is that they are threatening to take children away from parents if they test positive for COVID. And we know that China, for a fact, according to the news and CDC even, who said that many of the test kits have been tainted by China. We don't know if they sent those back or not. And maybe that's why everybody's being tested positive. Who knows? But the bottom line here is what we're talking about is the children, and they are threatening if the parents test positive, even one parent, for COVID, that CPS can take your children away.
Yes, and in numerous states, and this is all, you can Google it, in numerous states, people have signed up online to take the test and then found out that it was a 2 or 3 hour wait and decided not to take the test. And then 3 days later, they get the results of their test, which is positive. So thousands of people are being given positive test results without even taking the test. And,
and
in Tanzania,
I actually know people who went and stood in line and left, never took the test, and then they got a phone call saying, your test came back positive.
Yep, yep. And in Tanzania, the president of Tanzania, when he first got those tests, he was skeptical, and so he asked his minister of health to check the tests out. And so the minister of health sent in some sample tests with names and ages of the patients, and some of those tests came back positive. One of them was a goat, and one of them was a piece of fruit that he swabbed, but he put down like male, 55 years old, and both of them came back positive. So we can't have any confidence at all in the COVID numbers of people that are sick or in the deaths. And if you have
to, all they're doing is giving us the cases, though. They're not giving us recoveries and negatives. And the recoveries are like 80 to 95%, depending on the state. People are not dropping dead all over the streets like they're trying to put into people's heads. So my thing is, though, the children, because they are now using that to take children away from parents. Or guardians.
And that's really the bottom line here.
They came up with a new one.
Yeah. If you trace the history and you get to the point of where we are now, where we are right now is that we are at war with Marxists. We're still, for some reason, calling them Democrats when they're actually communists. And what they're doing is attacking every American and family value that exists today. They're actually attacking the family unit. They've been doing it for a very long time, since the CIA got involved in Hollywood, and they are doing the best they can to try to destroy the family unit, to try to destroy religion, to try to destroy freedom of speech, and they're doing a pretty good job of it, because in the 24 states that have Democratic governors, those blue state governors, that those states seem to be the only states that actually have a what I call a plandemic, because Fauci said that the new president, President Trump, was going to have to deal with a pandemic in his first term. And so to me, that is a plandemic. And the fact that they've got a patent on the virus, just like they have on the Ebola virus and the SARS virus and other viruses, tells us that they're not a bat that was eaten in a market. And so the CDC, a lot
Japanese,
of people don't even know.
Let me tell you, just recently, yesterday, a Japanese doctor, very professor and doctor, who is a Nobel Peace Prize winner, said if he dies or he's alive, if they kill him or if he dies, he doesn't care because he needs to put this information out that the China made, the man made the virus in their lab in Wuhan, and that it is not a natural virus. It's not a natural virus because it'd be impossible for that virus to spread from China to all these countries with different temperatures, and it wouldn't survive. So he said it is not a natural, and did not come from bats.
Right, and the CDC, their job is to sell vaccines, and the CDC is not a government agency, and so we're. Up till now, the scam has been that the CDC and the WHO have been giving direction to the United States government, and unfortunately, they ran into the one guy who doesn't belong to the establishment. They don't own him, and they can't buy him, and that's why they hate him, because he's had more, I'm talking about President Trump, has had more traffickers arrested in his 3 years than I believe presidents combined have since 2000. He's gone
That's
after the
Hollywood
traffickers.
That's why Hollywood hates him.
Yeah, he's gone
that's
after
why
the traffickers.
Hollywood
he's
hates
gone.
Him.
Yeah, and that's why the people in government hate him, because they know that he knows. And when he says he's draining the swamp, yeah, and when he says he's draining the swamp, he's not a one-man army, because he does have some people helping him, thank God. Jim Jordan's a good one. Nunes is a good one. Barr's a good one, of course. Durham's a good one. But essentially, at this moment, what we have in America is the American patriots that believe in all the values that make America great, and our president, President Trump, versus virtually everybody else. And by everybody else, what I mean is not only the Democrats, but the Communist Party in China, Iran, Palestine, the terrorist organizations such as Antifa and
the
BLM.
The Squad. Don't forget
the
Squad.
The Squad, who you, no matter what they do, it doesn't matter. You can't get them out. Nobody brings up charges. And Pelosi obstructs like there's no tomorrow. And Schumer, and with everything they've done wrong in their lifetime, they just continue to get away with it, and it's just an unbelievable thing to watch. And now the Democrats put up Biden and Kamala Harris, which is just – Kamala Harris had a 2% approval rating, and so how is she supposed to – I don't think she carries California for Biden, and I don't think Biden carries Delaware for Kamala Harris. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a fair election if they didn't carry any states at all. Unbelievable to me.
I mean, just the combination is makes you laugh. I mean,
it's really
like
unbelievable.
Joke, you know, it is,
you know,
the reason the other thing I wanted to tell you, when we were talking about anonymous calls, I actually read and copied a photograph, a tweet by a Antifa member who said that they. What they do is if somebody has a Trump flag on their front yard or on their house, they call CPS and say that they're abusing their children anonymously. They call and say they're abusing their children. I mean, that anonymous call, that should never be happening. When people are accusing you of a serious crime, that should never be happening.
And it happens so often because my wife and I put together our website, stopdhrcorruption.com, in 2012, and it's still up to this day. And we have received hundreds of emails from people asking for help, and not just from Alabama, from all over the country. And the stories are always the same. And it's just – it's heartbreaking, because you can't help these people, because you say, well, go to your – and then there's no place to go to, because they're all involved. The only one who's really not involved.
it's the same story for 30 years. I mean, when I started, it was the same thing. Only I was so naive and innocent that I thought, well, I'll just go to my congressman and I'll tell him what's happening and they're going to clean this up in the family law courts. Well, lo and behold, I didn't realize it was so deep, you know, and that, you know, because we are raised, well, we were raised, to believe in the system and that we trust judges and lawyers and we, you know, pledge our hand on our heart and the Pledge of Allegiance and the National Anthem, which we should do, and I still do. But, I mean, we were taught to trust our government, and I think we could trust it more before the 90s than we can now.
Yeah, and one of the biggest things that I wanted to get to today, which most people don't even know or never heard of, is Operation Paperclip. Operation Paperclip was an operation.
Hold on 1 second. I do want to talk about that. So can you hold on 1 second? We'll take a little break, grab a glass of water, and we'll go right into Operation Paperclip. Columbo Chronicles will be back in just a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up, because now we are going to speak with our special guest, Rob Ratkin, about Operation Paperclip. And if you've never read about Operation Paperclip, you need to know about it. So, Rob, tell us a little bit about Operation Paperclip.
When World War II ended in 1945, President Truman authorized Operation Paperclip. He expressly ordered that anyone found to have been a member of the Nazi Party or a suspected war criminal and involved in more than a nominal participant in its activities or an active supporter of Nazi militarism would be excluded. And so this was for Alan Dulles, who was the head of the Office of Strategic Services, OSS, which was the precursor to the CIA, he wanted to bring German scientists to America. And so President Truman said, you can bring the ones to America that can help us with our space programs, et cetera, as long as you make sure they have a clean record. What Alan Dulles did, and the reason why it's called Operation Paperclip, is because they took 1,600 German scientists, many of them Nazis, and they paperclipped a new resume and a new portfolio, a new background to them, so that they appeared to be clean. And so without President Truman knowing, Dulles brought in 1,600 German scientists, many of whom were Nazis and are communists and 100% against our country. And so now we were infiltrated in virtually no time at all. So the war ended, and then Dulles brought 1,600 German scientists, many of whom were Nazis, to America. Now the MK Ultra project, that was a project that was designed to create people where their memories were erased and we can give them assignments to do, and they would do whatever was asked of them because their memory was erased. And those experiments, those MK Ultra experiments, were an extension of the experiments that were performed on the Jewish people in Dachau during World War II. And so these consisted of LSD, and they consisted of extensive electroshock therapy designed to destroy a person's memory and be able to program their brain by having them listen to recordings 24 hours a day for 23 days straight in some cases. And so they were creating people that would be willing to do anything that they were told. And a lot of them were used to get close to heads of other countries and be able to extract information that maybe we weren't able to get. One of them was Kathy O'Brien. And Kathy O'Brien wrote a book called Transformation, T-R-A-N-C-E, Formation. And in that book, she was an MK Ultra victim. Many people were, but she was an MK Ultra victim. She was able to get out because Mark Phillips, who was a CIA operative, helped her to escape, and they ended up getting married, and through therapy, she ended up getting to the point where she could write a book. But in that book, she details very clearly how when she was 12 years old, she was delivered to Hillary Clinton as a gift, and Hillary Clinton raped her as a 12-year-old. And she goes on to explain that while that was occurring, Bill Clinton was in the other room with a young boy, and they both knew exactly what was going on because they were talking to each other. So this is well documented in the book Transformation, and easily obtainable. All you got to do is Google it. Her name is Kathy O'Brien, C-A-T-H-Y-O-B-R-I-E-N. But these are the people who actually were at the top. So when you have these type of people who are morally bankrupt and devoid of soul at the top, they set the tone. And so what we're facing right now goes back to Operation Paperclip, when all of these Germans and many of them Nazis were brought to America. And then through the MK Ultra Project and up to today, we are infiltrated with communists. And so when McCarthy was saying we're infiltrated by communists, he was 100% right, and we should have listened to him back then.
Well, I mean, anybody with, you know, a fifth grader's, you know, intelligence should realize what's happening, but I guess a lot of people don't, because it seems like they've got all of these young people who are in Antifa and the communist Antifa and the Marxist BLM, who are burning down cities and killing police and burning them and doing all kinds of horrible crimes against humanity in the United States of America. And these Democrat governors and mayors and AGs who are funded by many of them, who accept donations and accepted them from Epstein and from Soros and possibly Gates and all these wealthy NWO members, billionaires. It's Soros who's running the Democrat Party, in my opinion, and they're all doing his bidding. And so they're like turning a blind eye to all these crimes against humanity, and they're even killing babies and children, and they don't even care. And so it reminds me also when you were talking about the mind control that they now have currently, even a more sophisticated way of doing erasing of the memory. They can actually now erase religion from your head, God and religion, and it's a little nano chip that they can implant in the brain and actually erase everything you've ever known about Christianity or other religions, any religion, and God. So that to me is crimes against humanity, and it's also very Frankensteinish, to say the least. And and so it's almost like we're being or they're trying to control 7.7 billion people on the planet, and fear-mongering that if we don't do as Bill Gates said, who said, you have no choice, and Dr. Fauci, and now he's pushing all these money-making toys they have being made in China. They are fear-mongering in America, which people are not doing their homework and their research, and they are not even seeing what a farce this is. I mean, that is, to me, you know, sure, COVID's real because they created it, but people are not dropping dead on the streets everywhere like they were in 1918 when there were only 103 million people. And that was, and they're using the 1918 model, which is ridiculous. It was over 100 years ago. They were horse and buggy and Model Ts and only one doctor in the town. And most kids were, didn't go past eighth grade. They had to work on the farms. They were suffering from nutrition. They were poor. 60% of the population was poor. They didn't have any hospital on every corner, clinic, treatments, medications. They had none of this. And yet they still survived because now the population is 330 million people. So to use that model by Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates to fearmonger is absolutely insane, and then ignore all the doctors who are coming forward and saying, hey, these are the treatments we use. We're doing hands-on. Dr. Fauci hasn't touched a patient in years. We're taking care of the COVID patients, and we know what works and what is safe. And he's dismissing all that for the vaccination with Moderna. Moderna is linked to communists.
Yes, and not only that, but in 2005, Fauci was the one who was pushing hydroxychloroquine when the SARS epidemic hit, saying nobody needs to die. All they need to do is take hydroxychloroquine. Now all of a sudden he's saying, well, we're not really sure. Well, if you're not really sure about hydroxychloroquine that's been around for 60 years, why are you so sure about a vaccine that hasn't even been made yet?
Exactly. And what are we supposed to do, wait around for a vaccine that may never happen? And why should we not have a choice if we're healthy human beings in the United States of America? Why don't we have a choice? Because that's part of the constitutional rights that we're guaranteed. Because if you can say, as a female, you cannot, I can abort my baby because I have control by law of my own body, then why doesn't everybody else have control of their own body?
Yeah, and the sad fact is that we do. The sad fact is that these are unconstitutional rules. I live in Nevada, and we've got a governor in Nevada that says you have to wear a mask. Well, first of all, there's no such thing as a virus that lives in 110 degrees here in the heat. Second of all, there's a lot of people that have breathing issues, and wearing a mask is counterproductive. And third of all, they just came out with more news now saying that some of the masks are more harmful than they are helpful. And so there's no reason for us to wear a mask. But whether there is or isn't a reason to wear a mask, what we have forgotten or lost the concept of is that the government is our government and they work for us. We are citizens, not subjects, and they have no right to go over that line. Yeah,
they have no right to grant themselves the dictatorship.
Yeah.
And ignore their sworn oath to uphold the Constitution.
And that's why we hear so often, you know, the quote from Thomas Jefferson, you know, from time to time, the tree of liberty needs to be replenished with the blood of patriots and tyrants. And you hear talk every single day now of civil war. And so we've been engulfed with an evil Marxist attack. They've declared war on our life and on our way of life.
Yes, and Bill Gates doesn't have a degree. He doesn't have he's not a doctor. He's not a scientist. He's not a biochemist, a virologist, a pathologist. He's none of those things. And yet he's giving lectures to the world about science and medicine and vaccinations. How does that make sense that a computer geek who just got lucky and made billions of dollars is now taking control of the United States of America? Because when somebody says, you have no choice, we're going to plunge a needle in your arm because we gave police power to DHHS, that was Obama who did that. And that needs to be overturned by the Congress and the senators and or an executive order. That needs to be overturned. None of them should have police powers. And we didn't over us and knock down our doors and plunge a needle in our arms that we'd have no idea if there's DNA, aborted fetal tissue, the virus. a nano chip that can alter your DNA, which chemicals are in there, mercury, aluminum. We don't even know. They don't even want to give us any information. They just want to knock your door down and give you and force you to get a vaccination. I mean, who's Bill Gates? So what if he has a lot of money? Big deal. That's
and not only
opinion.
That, but he spent his whole lifetime talking about population control, and all of a sudden
yeah.
we're supposed
and
to trust him with a vaccine
in,
to help save
and
us.
And they were linked to Soros, Gates, and Fauci are all linked to Jeffrey Epstein, and they were and Bill Gates' dad too, and Rockefeller, and all those people, and they're all into eugenics and euthanasia and reducing the population of the planet. So why would you want to trust them to run for anyone in our government to listen to them? I mean, seriously. I mean, eugenics,
exactly.
Come on, you know. But anyway, you wanted to also talk about Hollywood.
Yes. So this is where it gets very interesting, because I came across a quote not long ago from Eddie Murphy talking about Sammy Davis Jr. And so I put it into Google, and of course the whole page comes up with article after article. But what Sammy Davis Jr. said to Eddie Murphy is, "You know, Satan is every bit as powerful as God, and that's who I pray to." And so when I first heard that from Eddie Murphy, I thought, So I went and looked it up, and I started researching. And the more I researched, the more unbelievable the satanic underworld is, and the bigger the picture gets of why our churches are shut down, because this Marxist mentality is pro-Satan and anti-God. And I'm not a religious guy. I'm not a theologist. All I know is that when people are sacrificing babies, when people are cooking and boiling babies, when people are eating babies, this is so against anything and everything that I ever knew in my entire lifetime. And I actually saw some pictures from Epstein's laptop that was sent to me by a fellow patriot that I have never posted and never shown and never shared and never will. But I heard stories of some of the seasoned detectives in New York when they viewed those pictures on that laptop. Some of them got physically ill and actually threw up. And
The latest I heard, Rob, was that they died.
The ones that saw those pictures.
I don't know. I mean, that's what I read online on somebody's post, but I can't verify that. I'm just saying that's an allegation that was made on the online. But I don't know if it's true or not. I hope not. I pray not. I mean, that would be horrible.
Well, you know, they certainly know how to clean up their messes. Larry Nichols, Nichols. Is a self-proclaimed hitman for the Clintons. He's in prison, and I know it was a couple of years ago, either 2017 or 2018, he had late-stage cancer, and so he was on a show where he was talking about some of the hits that he did for the Clintons when he worked for them through the years, and not only did he state that he did several hits for them, but he also stated that he definitely was not their only hitman. So it is absolutely the case when we say there's a bunch of bodies on the Clintons and people are getting suicided and people get two bullets in the back of their head and they count it as a suicide and on and on and on. It's absolutely the case that that what we're seeing is real. And the CIA actually coined the phrase conspiracy theorist to try to discredit people who say, well, wait a second now, Bohemian Grove, Northern California, heads of state, people go there. We've heard about sacrifices to no end. The ranch in New Mexico, they found bodies of children. John Paul Getty Museum in L.A. supposedly has an entire city, up to 2 million people underground. Epstein's Island, there's two. There's Little St. James and Big St. James. 9 miles, by the way, from Epstein's Island is Biden's Island. He actually owns an island out there. which I thought was interesting since he loves smelling little girls' hair. But the amount of satanic rituals and the amount of sacrifices, when I thought 800,000 children every year, where do they go? And then I realized that many of these children are murdered and sacrificed and eaten. It's absolutely beyond comprehension to a normal person with children to be able to think of somebody doing harm to a baby. But their mentality is that human babies are the most useless form of life, and so what they look for, and people who are listening can Google it, adrenochrome, it'll come up adrenochrome, and it'll come up animals, pigs, and children. And if you click on adrenochrome, A-D-R-E-N-O-C-H-R-O-M-E, adrenochrome from children, it'll tell you all about it. And so in the John Podesta emails, there is numerous references to spirit cooking. Marina Abramovich is a self-proclaimed Satanist, and she tries to call herself an artist, but, I mean, come on, the food looks like body parts. They make it to resemble body parts, and there's more than a few people stating that this ritual is done for the adrenochrome, and so they try to cover the actual horrendous behavior by claiming that it's art and that anybody that says otherwise is a conspiracy theorist. But the reality is that there's an awful lot of horrible stuff going on, and it stemmed back to the Church of Satan in San Francisco. Anton LaVey was the original, I think they called him the black priest or the black bishop, because he always dressed in black. Yeah, he was a white guy with a big beard that was known as the black bishop, I think, or black priest. But he was the founder of the Church of Satan. And so what we have here, what we have going on right now, is really a struggle for the heart and soul of America between American patriots whose churches have been shut down and lives have been stopped and constitutional rights have been taken away, versus what they call the deep state, which is all of these government people at the highest levels and not even limited to our country, that have been involved in these satanic rituals worldwide. And so the reason why they're fighting so hard is because if we expose them, if Trump wins in November and we continue the investigations and these people get arrested and we bring to light for the world to see what Prince Andrew has done and what Obama has done and what Clinton has done and on and on and on, including all the names in Hollywood, it'll be absolutely unbelievable for the world to see.
You know, it won't be surprising for me or you, but I would say the majority of people, and in America. And I feel sorry. I actually feel sorry for all these kids they recruited into Antifa and Black Lives Matter, because they're paying them to go tear down America, to commit anarchy and attack, because they need to break down the Department of Justice. And then they need to break down the American system. And so they're destroying small businesses, because small businesses create 85% of the jobs in America. And so they're making everybody homeless and poor and dependent on the government and standing in lines. And that is called control. And sheeple doing as they're saying while they're sitting in their mansions laughing at everybody, I will guarantee you. And they're not wearing their mask and goggles and gloves, and they're having sex and they're doing all kinds of stuff and enjoying their lives. And you've got 330 million people who are scared to death to even be with their families or their friends because, oh my God, you know. And I'm just like, okay, this is called control. This is called fear mongering. Civil unrest was created. the doctor, the Nobel Peace Prize winner, he confirmed it was man-made over in Wuhan, China. China, back in the 90s, was not only forcing women who were pregnant to have abortions, they were actually forcing them to inform the government when they were having their menstrual cycles. And if they didn't, if they hid their pregnancy because they were killing all the baby girls, if they hid their pregnancy, they would kill them. And so, and on top of that, they would take the fetuses, and they still do, I suppose, and they cook them in a stew for food. And then if it's the firstborn boy, they consider that a delicacy, and that's more expensive. And so there you have it. It was starting way back when, and now it's all over in USA, and Americans have no idea what they're putting in vaccines. They have no idea what they're putting in our foods, our drinks. They have no idea. We don't have any idea because they lie to the American people so much. Nobody trusts them.
Well,
nobody believes them.
The one movie I wanted to, it's a documentary that I wanted to mention, was Out of Shadows. That is an excellent documentary to explain how the CIA got involved in Hollywood and how the message that comes out from Hollywood and the drugs that were involved in Hollywood and the violence that was involved in Hollywood was designed in part to destabilize our country. And they've done a darn good job of it. And the first CIA director, by the way, who was the former Office of Strategic Services, was that same Alan Dulles, who brought in all of those German scientists and Nazi sympathizers when Eisenhower appointed him to be the first CIA director. What we had was a guy who was absolutely trying to turn our country into a communist country. And like I said before, we should have listened to McCarthy. But McCarthy is a good lesson, because when people try to shout people down, like that reporter, I think her name was Liz Crokin, who found the pedophile ring that was nicknamed Pizzagate, and they made her out to be crazy. She wasn't crazy. And as a matter of fact, not only wasn't she crazy, but very interestingly, I saw a picture yesterday of Podesta with the owner of that Comet Ping Pong. And in the picture with the two of them happened to be Kamala Harris's sister. How about that?
Well, they're all tied together. They believe in bloodlines. They believe that,
yep,
you know, that they're all related. They'll marry relatives, you know, to keep their bloodlines going, you know. So if you're not in their bloodline or their clout right now. So,
yeah. And I think there's only four or five families that have run California for many, many, many years, if I'm not mistaken.
The Getty family, the Brown family, the Pelosi family, and the Newsom family, and the Pelosi and Newsom are related. So there you go.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're the deep state with everything that you've done wrong, and now it's coming to light, the two people that you would probably want the most to be able to get into the White House would be Biden and Harris, because the first thing the two of them would probably do would be to eliminate Barr and end the investigation, and then everybody's off the hook.
Well, I have a theory on Kamala Harris, because it's in the news. It's no secret that she covered up the priests who were involved in pedophilia, allegedly involved in pedophilia in the Catholic Church out there in San Francisco, and other things. And so, but I have this theory that they chose her because they don't believe the Constitution exists anymore. If you recall, Obama said the Constitution is meaningless, Congress is meaningless. I'm going to rule California with my phone and my pen. And that's what he did. He became a dictator by executive order, and they allowed it to happen. And so I think, and he was not eligible to be president because he was an Indonesian national. And so he never repatriated when he returned to the United States. And so, I mean, he even admits he's Kenyan, the first Kenyan to be an American president. And that's even in his bio and everything that the left said, oh, that's or whatever. But the bottom line is, I believe that they are trying to make it so that the Constitution is totally meaningless, and that you don't stand for the flag, you don't stand for the national anthem, this is a horrible country, blah, blah, blah. It's what they're training these young people up to believe, and that they are trying to make it so that you do not have to be a natural-born American to be president of the United States or vice president. And the reason I say that, Rob, is because Kamala Harris is not a natural-born American. So if they say, oh, we got to take Biden out because he's got dementia or he's got some other COVID or whatever they're going to do, because I believe that's what's going to happen, they're going to slip Kamala Harris in there. But she's not eligible to be a president of the United States under our Constitution if it still exists.
Yes, and the way to get around it is that John Roberts is compromised. So the Supreme Court right now is 4-4 with John Roberts being the fifth liberal vote. So anything that they want to bang through the Supreme Court, they can absolutely bang through. And if
and that's why they
want to
keep Ginsburg alive through the elections. It's my opinion.
Yes. Yeah, because if they take over and Ginsburg then retires, they can put somebody that's a liberal or, you know, a socialist or a communist in into the Supreme Court so that they still have it 4-4 plus Roberts. And so with Roberts compromised, the Supreme Court, the Constitution basically ceases to exist, which is what has happened in several recent court cases. In California, the churches took their case to the Supreme Court saying we have a right to assemble, we have a right of free speech, we have a right to be able to practice religion, and we're guaranteed these rights in the Constitution. And Roberts was the 5-4 dissenting vote to say, nah, I don't think so. You listen to your governor.
Yeah,
and then
so
the
now
same
governors
thing happened
have
in
more
Nevada.
Power than the Constitution. The governors have
yeah.
more power than the United States Constitution right now.
Yeah,
you,
and the same thing happened in
Nevada.
You
have no choice.
And Gates and
Soros bottom off, in my opinion.
Yeah. And in Calgary, in Reno, Nevada, the Calgary Church took their case to the Supreme Court saying if a casino can have 50% occupancy, we should be allowed to have 50% occupancy. And again, the court ruled no. Your governor said only 25%.
But Antifa and Black Lives Matter can twerk in the streets by thousands and dance and have parties while they're rioting, and enjoy themselves. And, you know, they can wear a mask or not wear a mask. But if you, the law-abiding American who pays their wages, dares, oh, my God, go to the beach without a mask, you could be arrested or fined. I mean, this is so absurd. I can't even believe it's happening in our country, that the sheeple have
yeah.
fallen for all this.
And
you
the
know?
One group that doesn't follow any of the rules, the one group that doesn't wear a mask, they don't distance, and they don't wash their hands, and they're not sanitary, the one group that ignores every rule are the homeless. And if you go to L.A. or you go to San Francisco or you go to any city, God bless them, they're still all alive. It's absolutely remarkable.
That's a great point.
How...
That is a wonderful comment to end with. Run out of time, but you want to give your website so people can contact you, Rob?
Well, my website to children for any issues you have with DHS or CPS is stopdhrcorruption.com. But if you can't remember that, just remember Raskin.Vegas. And if you type in Raskin.Vegas, you'll come to my website. My website's got multiple websites associated with it that are all ours, my wife and mine. And Stop DHR Corruption is a link on my site. So Stop the HR Corruption is the site if you're having a problem with Child Protective Services. And Raskin.Vegas is my general site that's got all kinds of great information on it. And so you can reach
Fantastic.
Me through either of those sites.
Fantastic. And thank you so much, Rob Raskin, for all the hard work you're doing, you and your wife. Keep up the good work, and we'll still keep trying to take our country back and save the children. God bless you.
Absolutely, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Well, Rob Raskin has left the building, and we have to sign off. But God bless you. God bless America. God bless the President of the United States, and keep him safe. Heaven knows we need him. And William Barr and Mr. Durham and all the great GOP defenders of the Constitution and who support the President and us patriots and the children. So stay healthy, and I will talk to you next Wednesday from 12 to 1 p.m. Remember, injustices can happen to you and they can happen to me, but together we can make a positive difference. Remember that you are never alone when you tune into Columbo Chronicles Live.
Rose Columbo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Columbo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Columbo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Columbo Chronicles.